Good morning. This is KDNK News, your morning newscast for this Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. On November's ballot, voters in Carbondale, Silt, Parachute, and Garfield County will decide whether or not to opt out of restrictions on local government control over high-speed internet. Blake Mobley is IT director for Rio Blanco County. In this clip from GeekSpeak, he talks about Rio Blanco's ballot initiative and the county's decision to invest in infrastructure that now delivers gigabit fiber to homes and businesses in Rangeley and Meeker.
In November of 2014, it was on our ballot, and we had of the voters that turned out, 82% of them voted to override Senate Bill 5152. The real challenge for Rio Blanco County, and I think for a lot of your rural communities in Colorado, is that it's difficult for the incumbents, and I don't have any ill will whatsoever for the incumbents. In fact, they're critical for your middle mile. You still must work with them in a very close partnership for this type of service.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really difficult for those incumbents to come to these small rural communities and build out a modern infrastructure. Their return on investments, you know, if they look at a 3 or 5 year return on investment, they're not going to get there. It's not possible. And most of them need that for their business models, you know, to pay off all their stockholders. And so when we analyzed that situation and problem, Rio Blanco County, we realized as the county government that, all right, we're going to have to take this over as local control. We're going to build out this expensive infrastructure if that's our goal, if we want that modern broadband service, the ability to deliver gig fiber to the home in our two rural towns. And so that was really the impetus that got us started on doing the Senate Bill 05-152 override, which thus allowed us to implement the type of solution that we're doing here in Rio Blanco County.
You can hear the entire episode of GeekSpeak at kdnk.org. Tonight in Aspen at the Limelight Hotel Lounge, the Aspen Next Generation Advisory Commission and Aspen Young Professionals host an election event featuring Pitkin County Commissioner candidates and representatives of local and statewide ballot questions. KDNK's Gavin Dahl spoke to Skippy Mesereau, chair of Aspen Next Gen, to find out more.
Candidates for county commissioner will be debating at the event. We've also invited all candidates whose districts overlap Aspen. So that includes local candidates, it includes state senate and state house, and also upticket. We know that both the Democratic and Republican parties are going to be coming on behalf of their candidates. And we have a large amount of representatives for the various ballot initiatives. This election has quite a few initiatives, and we'll have representatives from many of them on premise.
You are doing some prize giveaways. It seems like Aspen Ski Co. is supporting this event at Limelight Hotel Lounge. Tell us a little bit more about kind of the incentive structure you guys have set up.
Sure, and it's a great way to put it. And we think that's important, right? If it matters to show up in your community and vote, and it does, especially on a local level, then it's our responsibility as those who are already participating to bring people into the process. And however you do that, I think it's a net positive, because once people take ownership and show up for the game, they then learn how to play it and they get into the educational part. So as you mentioned, we're really grateful to Ski Co., who is co-hosting this event for us. We're exceptionally grateful to the Limelight Lodge, which has donated both food and drink for participants who come. So do come and get some free pizza and a free beer. You mentioned incentives. We want to really make this inclusive. So bring people who are not already registered and register them at our event and earn additional prizes or beers. And we're also really grateful to Belly Up, to Ned Sullivan, amongst others who have donated prizes to our raffle. It's a community event, and we're grateful for all participants.
So I noticed you guys added the event to the community calendar on the KDNK website, and the title of the event there includes the reference to Trump's hair. Is that on the agenda tonight as well?
Everything is on the agenda. It's a national election year, and people, for whatever worth, tend to put more prominence on a national election. And it's understandable because it's in the news and it's exciting. But the truth is, if you really want to have an impact on the national scale, you have to act locally. And so we wanted to use the opportunity to draw people in the door. There will be discussions about the presidential race, but we're going to be focusing on local issues and local candidates as well. And, you know, as a citizen, you have far more opportunity to have a real, tangible tangible and immediate impact on your life by getting involved locally.
That's Skippy Mesereau, chair of the City of Aspen's Next Generation Advisory Commission. For folks who don't know, how does that commission work?
So we're the newest commission of the City of Aspen. Think of it like a planning and zoning or an HPC, but we focus on how policy decisions affect the 18 to 40 demographic. We have a side of the commission that has the city come forth with policy or project initiative, and we review those and then draft recommendations or resolutions to City Council. We also have a proactive wing, which each year sits down and says, what are the one or two most critical things that we could be working on to help young people create long-term lives in Aspen? And the answer to that second question this year included civic participation, voter turnout, and critically, a more cohesive and collaborative community dialogue. And that's where this event came from.
That's from 5 to 8 tonight at the Limelight Hotel Lounge in Aspen. Skippy, thanks so much for speaking to KD&K.
Thanks so much for having me, and we hope everyone comes and has a great time. Come say hi and play a role. Thank you.
One of the more controversial issues on this year's ballot is a proposal to create a single-payer healthcare system for the state. Supporters of Amendment 69 say it would be cheaper and everyone would have coverage. Opponents say it's a tax hike and it's not sustainable. But as Benta Berkland reports, the one thing both sides agree on is the current system has problems.
Kate Hudnett is a graphic designer who works from her home in Frisco. She buys health insurance on the individual market for her husband and young daughter who has asthma.
Our options narrow every year.
Over the last 12 years, she says her monthly premiums have gone up by 300%.
Our rates are around $1,300 for the three of us, and that is not a fancy plan. There's no bells and whistles. You kind of cringe when you go to the doctor because you're not really sure what's going to cost you.
And next year, individuals and families like Hudnett's will see prices go up by another 20 to 40%.
We have zero control over those companies, and they gouge us every year. They raise premiums every year.
T.R. Reid is a backer of Colorado Care. During a recent debate at Colorado Public Television, he says Colorado Care would bring control back to Colorado instead of leaving it in the hands of large insurance companies.
This year, they're charging us $30 billion for health insurance premiums. Colorado Care is run right here and costs less, $25 billion. $25 billion is a lot of money, but it's less than we're spending now.
About half of the state's population gets health insurance through an employer. A nonpartisan legislative analysis says Colorado Care would save companies and individuals money by cutting premiums and administrative costs. It would raise income taxes by 10%. But Emily Johnson says that wouldn't be enough to cover the program. She analyzed it for the nonpartisan Colorado Health Institute.
The problem is it's based on an income tax, and income only grows at around 4% a year. Health expenditures, on the other hand, grow at around 6% a year. So if you have any system where you're basing its form of payment on an income tax, you're going to run into this disparity down the line.
If approved, the governor and state legislature would set up an interim board of trustees. That group would then determine procedures for electing a 21-member board to oversee Colorado Care. People over age 65 would still continue to receive Medicare.
Amendment 69 is written in such a way that it's got a lot baked into it that you can't untangle if it were to get into the Constitution.
Ian Silveri is the head of the liberal group Progress Now. Many on the left, from labor unions to the Bell Policy Center, oppose the measure. He worries voters wouldn't approve future tax increases to keep up with health care costs, and that could force the state to make budget cuts.
It breaks my heart that we had to come out against Amendment 69.
It also has opponents on the right, including Americans for Prosperity and the Republican Party. Those groups want less government involved in health care, not more. Independent political analyst Eric Sonderman says division from both the right and left doesn't bode well for the amendment.
My surmise, strong surmise, is that this will be defeated and probably defeated handily. The question is whether it advances the dialogue or whether it stops the dialogue because its defeat was so large.
A recent poll from Colorado Mesa University and Rocky Mountain PBS surveyed a pretty evenly split group of Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters. It showed that 56% strongly or somewhat opposed the amendment, with only 30% strongly or somewhat in favor. Joe Hannell of the Colorado Health Institute says regardless of what ultimately happens, it has been a worthwhile discussion.
What's been exciting about Colorado Care is that it's a genuinely new idea on the table where that would be a really big change. And so many times in health policy, we spend our time on incremental changes in very specific areas.
Tamara Dranks-David is the executive director of the Family and Intercultural Resource Center in Silverthorne. The nonprofit helps low-income families enroll in health care. She says she's not surprised that Colorado is debating universal health care.
The fact of the matter is people are desperate for a solution, and that's why it's on the ballot. It almost doesn't matter anymore what the solution looks like. People are willing to try absolutely anything to get some relief.
And that could be the case for Kate Hudnut in Frisco. Right now, she's undecided on Colorado Care.
I don't fully understand it. I don't think they have a fantastic explanation of what it's going to be.
But she says the skyrocketing health care costs in Summit County are leaving her few choices.
And I see my neighbors and, you know, fellow business people packing up and leaving because they can't, you know, they can't make it add up anymore. You know, I've traveled and lived in Europe before, and I think there's a lot to be said for, I guess you'd call it single payer.
Amendment 69 was the first measure approved for the ballot and is one of nine statewide issues that voters will decide on in November. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Dry Rifle Creek east of Rifle Gap Reservoir and West Rifle Creek west of the reservoir are closed to motorized use through November 30th to improve hunting opportunities. Disturbances from cars, trucks, motorcycles, and ATVs push big game out of these areas. BLM has called for the closures as part of its resource management plan. And October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Garfield County Sheriff Lou Valario says that Colorado law does not require physical contact as a minimum standard to make a mandatory DV arrest. Domestic violence means an act or threatened act of violence upon a person with whom the suspect has been involved in an intimate relationship. DV also includes any other crime used as a method of coercion, control, punishment, intimidation, or revenge. More information at garcosheriff.com. Morning commuters in West Glenwood Springs can expect 20-minute delays at the exit 114 interchange of I-70 for another few weeks while the eastbound off-ramp is down to one lane. At the north end of the Grand Avenue Bridge in Glenwood, the right turn to 6th Street will be closed Monday through Friday for the next 3 weeks. And the 8th Street Bridge in Glenwood Springs will be closed to vehicle traffic beginning Saturday and going for about 10 days until October 18th. That's the bridge that connects downtown Glenwood Springs to Midland Avenue. The bridge closure will have a significant impact on traffic, including school traffic, traffic headed to West Glenwood Springs from downtown Glenwood, and those who live on Midland Avenue who want to come into Glenwood Springs. So, as far as schools go, students will be transferred from bus to bus at Glenwood Springs High School. For busloads of middle school students who live in South Glenwood, Sopris Elementary will be a transfer station in the afternoons. For more information, contact the school district or take a look at the Post-Independent today. And in Aspen, Main Street is closed this week from 7:30 in the morning to 9 p.m. between Galena and Spring Streets for a waterline replacement.